song. Play that other one. Check your phone. Whew, how you guys doing? Feeling good? How'd the day go? Was it good? You ready? No. No. That's right. Maybe I sent it to somebody else. Yeah. Woo. Okay. Awesome. Well, let's get rolling here. Man, I'm pumped up for you guys, for me, like for us. And, what happened? Oh, I need to learn. I haven't done a presentation so darn long. Okay. So you guys learn a lot today? Did you, how did the afternoon session go? How did you guys do on that, working that exercise and developing that skill set? All right? That skill, that's an executive, high executive level skill, right? And if you develop it and practice it and train it, and you know, there's, like Danny was saying, there's opportunity to do that throughout your whole life. Like, you may not even be in sales, but your whole life you're talking to people throughout the whole day. So you could just be thinking about, instead of just like going through life all boring and blah, 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 every time you have a conversation, you could be thinking about, how can I, you know, do some promotion, art of promotion, right? And the thing is you're developing your skill set. You're developing that million-dollar skill set. There's a saying that says that all you need is $1 million presentation. And that's it. Just one. But you gotta test. you gotta practice a lot to get there. So one of the things that's really important to us at these events, particularly at Dynasty, how many of you, this is your first Dynasty? Wow, that's pretty awesome. I did it, honey. You proud? Okay, so one of the things that's really important to us at Dynasty is that, and at all the events, is that you get the full enchilada, okay? The full picture of life, of succeeding in life, not just you personally, but to build a legacy, okay? For that next generation. That could be your kids. That could be your grandkids. That could be people that aren't even in your direct family lineage. It could be extended family. It could be people in your community. It could be a niece or a nephew or somebody else, okay, that you are influencing, okay? And so a big part of it is to help you learn the skills and to develop those things that... I'm looking for a clock. those key skill sets. And so what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to share with you a little bit of a journey that I've been on for a large portion of my life. Part of it is that disease of always trying to figure stuff out. Who has that disease in here? Okay, that's it. I know you don't want to raise your hand. I got a disease. But it's a pretty good disease to have. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the money side of things. You guys ready for that? You guys cool with that? Okay. You guys pumped? Are you sure? Okay, cool. So we want you to benefit from our mistakes. Does that make sense? If we can help you avoid major life mistakes. There's a saying that says, you know, a smart person learns from somebody else, from somebody who's successful, but a wise man learns from other people's failures. And I don't know about you, but the lessons in my life that have had the biggest impact have not been my successes. they've been my mistakes and my failures. Those are the things in my life that have radically changed my life. So sometimes we get, you know, really focused on the good things and on that, but we need to remember that even in the valley, we need to be thankful to our Father, to the Creator, for what we are learning in those situations, even though it might be painful, even though it might be hard. Because it's the low points in our life and it's the challenges that develop character. Yes. And character is what leads to prosperity and to happiness, okay? Okay, so I'm going to go through this. And how many of you guys are excited? Okay, are you sure? Okay, so are you sure? You guys pumped? Okay, cool. So let's see. Let's get to this slide here. If I can figure out how to use it this time. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about becoming a master wealth builder. Okay? How many of you want to learn to be a master wealth builder? Okay? So, and very specifically, and this is the crazy thing that I'm going to throw out there. Okay? This is the crazy big idea tonight. We're going to talk about 10% per year with no fear. 10% on your money, because the key to wealth is to get your money working for you instead of you working for your money. How many of you have spent your entire life working for your money? Okay. And some of you have even heard the statements before. Get your money working for you instead of you working for your money. Okay. My guess would be that there would be maybe a couple people in the room, because there's certain personalities that have a certain temperament. But the majority of people in the room, my guess is that you are not consistently, methodically, every single month, every single quarter, every single year, putting your money to work for you and making it work for you. Okay? So the question is if you are not doing that, if you know it here, but you're not doing it, the question is, why not? Okay? And we're going to talk about that tonight. And what I'm going to do, I do classes only a couple times a year with a very small group of people. Okay? Part of that is a quality thing, and it's just I'm in a season of my life where I want to do things that I enjoy doing and that I have fun doing. I spent a long period, and I'll talk a little bit about that tonight, a long period of my life just doing stuff I didn't like doing. It stressed me out. How many of you ever been stressed out before in here? Okay. So for me, I'm in a season of my life where it's like, if I'm not having fun, I don't want to do it. If it stresses me out, I don't want to do it. If it stresses me out, it sucks. If it's complicated, it sucks. Right? And so I do these classes only a couple times a year, usually with a really small group of people, because my personality type, and this is part, how many of you ever heard of the old saying, know thyself? Anybody ever heard that? So this is part of that journey that we should all be on. So my personality, I there's areas of my that I have strengths, and there's areas that are not strengths, just like all of you. Okay, and one of the areas that for me, I have a high value of relationships, but I'm not good at managing and maintaining a lot of relationships at once. Stresses me out. Now, other people, I have a best friend in Hawaii. He keeps in touch with everybody. The guy knows like gazillions of people, right? And he's just incredible at that. So I do these classes. So what I'm going to do tonight is essentially I'm going to take you through how many of you would like to actually get to look into what happens in those classes. They're wealth building sessions, okay, where I take people step by step by the hand and work with them and show them exactly what I'm doing based on years of being an entrepreneur and making mistakes and trial and error and tweaking and fine-tuning and testing and tweaking and fine-tuning and testing, right? How many of you would like to be able to like look over the shoulder and say, okay, what goes on in those classes and learn that, okay? So that's what we're going to do tonight in a very short time session, okay? In a very consolidated, like, so some sessions might, some things might go quick, but does that be okay with you guys? You guys be okay with that if we do that? You guys be down with that? Okay, cool. So this is a crazy thing, 10% per year with no fear, okay? We'll talk about that, okay? So how do we do that? How do we do 10%? You say, well, that's, nobody makes, you know, how do you make 10%? That's kind of like the, you know, sounds too good to be true. I'll tell you what's more too good to be true, no fear. That's the biggest part, okay? And we'll talk about this tonight, but there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's no lack of opportunity. There's tons of opportunity out there, okay? So we're going to talk about these two things, but to me, the bigger part is no fear, okay? That doesn't mean that you're crazy and you just do crazy stuff with your money, right? Now, some of you in here might think, well, investing, that's, you know, I'm not that type of person. That's too sophisticated. It's too complicated. I'm just trying to pay my bills. I'm just trying to make ends meet. I can't even think about that right now, Hans. Okay? How many of you feel that way in here? Okay, don't raise your hand. Okay, it's okay. All right. No, I'm kidding. But so what I would say to you is this, and we'll show this, but don't check out because you think this doesn't apply to you. Okay? And I got to say this, and this is from our heart for you and your life. The world we live in today is changing very, very fast. Very fast. Okay? How many of you are noticing a lot of that particularly in our country, but it's not just happening here. It's happening in Europe. It's happening all over the place. You're seeing a lot of tension going on. There's tension happening everywhere. There's a lot of anger, a lot of hate, a lot of fear, a lot of tension. Anybody noticing that? Okay. There's a lot of reasons why that's going on, but one of the biggest reasons is because of disruption. Technology is impacting every single sector in the market. It is rewriting the rules of the game. It is displacing the kingmakers. It is challenging all of the long-held belief systems, ways of doing things. People that have been in structures and positions of authority and control for not just decades, but hundreds of years are being challenged now. Okay? So our heart for you guys is that, and I'll start with this. You have to get yourself, you have to become part of the ownership society. You cannot sit around and be in the renter side of society. Because the middle class is going down and the gap between rich and poor is expanding. Okay? So I'm going to be sharing with you some strategy tonight. And I would just say that even if you don't have all of the finances yet, you can take this and you can start with where you're at. And you can start now. You can start applying it. You can start to build wealth. And you can start getting your money, making your money. Anybody cool with that? You guys good with that? Okay, awesome. Okay, so let's go. So now here's the deal. So we say, okay, I want to make, 10% per year with no fear. How do I do it? Well, here's the classic situation that happens. And I hear that, and this happens all the time. People say, well, Hans, tell me an investment. What is an investment that I can do that, right? This is the classic one right now. Classic question, is fill in the blank, Bitcoin a good investment? I can't tell you how many times a day, a week, I get that question through Facebook, through all these places. Okay? So the question I have for you, and this is what I'm going to be talking about tonight, is 99%, the 99% think that the answer is in the investment. The 1%, the wealth builders and the wealth creators, know that it's not the investment, it's about a wealth building system. Investment ideas come and go. What I'm going to give to you tonight in as much time as we have is a system, a wealth building system, okay? So it all starts here with this beautiful place. Where is that? This is Bora Bora. Anybody ever been to Bora Bora? Okay. How many of you think that's a beautiful island right there? Okay. That is Bora Bora. That is an island in the middle of the South Pacific Ocean. It's part of the Tahiti, the Tahitian Islands. Okay. It's one of the most remote places on earth. In the center is an island. Behind you can see Raiatea and, Taha, the two islands behind. So there's this island in the middle with a lagoon and all these other little islands around it. Okay. Now the thing you need to understand is this is not real. Okay. This is fake. It's a fake world, okay? This only exists right here, okay? It's like, it's not really real, okay? The water has 47 different colors of blue. Your brain has never seen those colors before, and it doesn't know how to actually process it. Your brain goes like this at first. And it just breaks. Okay? And you start drooling. Okay? Your brain doesn't know how to have it. It's like a green screen. It's like you just stepped onto another planet. Okay? So that's Bora Bora. Now the story starts way before this, but this is where it really starts. Okay? So we renewed our vows. It was this wonderful, beautiful thing. Honey, what do you want to do? I've always wanted to go to Bora Bora. Awesome. Do you know where that is? No. But I've always wanted to go. So we go to Bora Bora, right? We have this incredible, amazing time. We had already, our business was a few years old. We're just saving, we're working, we're growing. It's just like bam, 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 bam. All this stuff is happening, right? Now, the first part of what I'm going to teach you tonight, we have been doing for years. I set our business up that way, manage all the cash flow. The first little formula that I'm going to share with you. And so as a result of that, if you follow the first portion, what will happen is your capital will grow. Your savings will grow. Okay? 100% guaranteed. And so, you know, what happens when you have money? You ever heard the saying, money's burning a hole in the, you know, in your pocket? Okay. So one of the things, I'll hit it, and if I repeat, I'm just going to skip through things. But one of the things, you want to write this down, money is always looking for a place to go. If you don't tell it where to go, and if you don't give it its purpose, it will tell you. Okay? You have to be the master of your money, otherwise it will be your master, and you will be its slave. You can post that on Facebook, Hans Johnson, if you want. Okay? That if you understand that, that's going to be the beginning of understanding money and wealth. Okay? So what happens, and here's the other thing, is that when you have capital, if you don't have a system and you don't have the knowledge and you don't know how to manage it, even if you do, you have a big invisible target painted on your face and your chest and on your back everywhere you go. Yeah. And that thing's sending off a signal like a beacon. Yeah. And it's advertising to the world, I have money and I'm an idiot, I'm a fool, come take it from me. And it's a subliminal subconscious message that is literally signaling out to people who gravitate towards that. Okay? Now, if I didn't just tell you that right there, what I just shared with you right there is worth $1 million. Because many of you in here, your income and your business is going to just blow up like crazy. In the coming years, you're going to have, you know, there's this old saying that when money starts to flow, it comes so fast that you sit there and you go, where was it all this time? There's no lack of money out there. There's tons of it. Like, there's like gazillions and gazillions of dollars. Okay, so it all started with this place called Bora Bora. Whoops. So we go there, and we have this incredible time, and towards the end of our trip, we're like, honey, we should look and see if we could buy property here. Now, this is like way halfway on the other side of the world. And so we, oh yeah, sure, why not? Expose, involve, upgrade. Before we know it, by the time, like on our very, we're looking at this particular property first, okay, and at the very, we're like an hour before trying to catch our plane, and we're doing a deal. Okay, now, you can't own property in French Polynesia as an American. Certain countries don't let you do that. So this was the beginning of a lot of things, okay? Someday I'll fill you in more, but we owned, we had our place. She knows exactly where it is. She'll point to it. Yeah. So if you go to the end of that, the runway, and then off to the left. Okay? So we had, and when we first bought that, and we actually, we had planned to develop it into a vacation rental and do executive retreats with our top clients there. And we actually ended up doing one. Okay? All right. We had wonderful, grandiose plans. Okay. So this right here, before we get into the system, let me lay a little bit more of groundwork. So money versus happiness. So this is like a riddle, okay? How many ever heard the saying, money doesn't buy you happiness? Anybody in here? Okay, so I just want to cover this real quick to lay the foundation that when we talk about wealth, we're not just talking about monetary wealth or money. Okay, you guys should know that by now. But so this, I was thinking and, you know, doing what I do, which is just like, and then, you know, I got this, you know, like in a vision. So there's four grids, and don't mind all the photos and stuff like that, but on the bottom left is PN, okay? And on your paper, you can write poor and needy. How many of you have ever been poor and needy in here before? That's it? How many of you have ever been poor and needy in here before? Probably all of us in our life started out that way. When we're a little baby, we're poor and we're needy. Okay, and I'm going to bring it all back to the context of a balance sheet, financial terms. Okay, I'm going to start to take you through like I do in the class. Okay, so you start off with life, and your balance sheet is zero. You have nothing on your balance sheet. You have no assets and basically only liabilities. In that, as a human being, you're 100% dependent on your parents and your family to take care of all your needs. Okay. Straight above that is spiritual and broke. How many of you have ever been spiritual and broke in here before? Okay. These are people, God bless these people, they're amazing. They're salt of the earth. They're incredible people. They're people that have good hearts. They've put their life and focused their life into helping people and to being involved with good causes. Okay. You know, it could be a ministry type thing, but sometimes it might be like, you know, Greenpeace or Saving the Whales or Hugging Trees or whatever it might be, you know, but they're very focused out, you know, not on themselves. Okay. They want to make the world a better place. Okay. But their biggest challenge is resources. Okay. So what happens is that typical thing you'll hear is raising support. How many of you ever known somebody that's had to do that before? Okay. Raising support means you're putting out letters and stuff to help, to get people to help support your good work. Okay. All right. And then to the top right, FSF, you want to write Freedom, security, and fulfillment, okay? Freedom, security, and fulfillment. Those are the top three core needs that every single human being on the planet has. Every single one of us in here has a need for freedom. Okay? The human spirit wants to be free. Does not want to be controlled, oppressed, suppressed, dominated, abused, and transgressed on. Nobody in here wants to live in a neighborhood where there's, well, this is the security side of it. The other part is the security. Okay? So that's the freedom side. Freedom of thought, freedom of speech. Okay? Free to do what you want, when you want to do it. How many of you that resonates with you? Okay? For me, that is my strongest value, is freedom. Now, security is the other one, okay? Security is also very important. Nobody wants to live in a neighborhood where there's drive-by shootings every night. No, how many of you don't want to live in North Korea? You know, I understand nowadays in our school systems, in our college, like communism and Marxism and all this stuff, all these systems is really cool. It's really nice and cool while you're sitting in a, you know, capitalistic, democratic country that isn't perfect, but has a lot of freedoms. It's really cool. Ain't so cool when you go there. Right? Like those kind of systems are responsible for more murders, more death than anything else throughout history. Totalitarian regimes, systems, okay? You look throughout history, if you know your history and you study your history, okay? So our system that we have in our country is not perfect by any stretch, okay? But it's not those other systems, okay? So security is important. And then the last one is fulfillment. So the need to be, to have fulfillment in what we do in our life, to know that we're making a difference, that need can come from contribution, okay? So these are in balance, and the two that are really warring against each other is freedom and security. The founding fathers were, you know, they said that, that if a people is willing to trade its security for freedom, then it deserves neither. And so you see that as a society evolves, it starts to chase and long more for security. It wants security more. And the thing is that when we are more concerned with security, we will end up losing our freedom. That is the cycle of human nature and the cycle of democracy and nations, okay? Okay, now at the bottom is my favorite, RMB, okay? And on your paper, what you want to write down for that is rich, miserable, bastard. Okay? That's when this started. Okay? So my life started, I told you a little bit earlier, I was in Hawaii, grew up poor, you know, if I didn't work, I didn't eat, that was my box spring mattress, you know. I slept out because we didn't have, every 3 or 4 months we were moving, and I was usually sleeping outside on a porch. Sometimes I had a screen, sometimes it didn't, and then like a box of stuff, okay? And those were the lays that I would sell, and that's how my life started, right? Started my first business at 8 years old. Then, many years later, through working different businesses, doing stuff like that, then, you know, the business is succeeding, we're doing stuff, traveling, just all the stuff that we say is success, okay? And then comes Bora Bora, I'm flying airplanes, right? Which was exciting. It was the most exciting and terrifying thing I've ever done in my life, right? It was like nothing like it as far as a feeling of accomplishment, but I tell you what, stress, it was massive stress, right? It wasn't even my idea, right? Like if I asked you to say, hey, wouldn't it be cool to fly an airplane? How many of you would say yes? Like, oh yeah. I mean, everybody's thought of it or dreamed of it, right? That doesn't mean you want to do it. So somebody put that in my head. somebody. I was like, yeah, sounds great. Now here's the thing. Once you start something hard, you can't stop, depending on the type of personality you are. So for me, I was like, I can't stop. I'll be a quitter. I'm not going to quit. Right? So I go all the way up, get, you know, instrument certified, get, you know, twin engine instrument rating, flying the, you know, world's fastest piston airplane, still holds a record for, you know, I mean, just crazy. And I could tell you some pretty crazy stories on that, okay? So here's the thing. How do you maintain this balance between rich, being happy and rich? So happiness, and I wanted to share this study with you, okay? They did this study with people that were getting close to retirement, and they surveyed. And the people that were being surveyed that were approaching retirement, their number one, how many want to know what their number one concern was? Their number one fear and concern was not having enough money. Number one, okay? They followed up with these people a couple years later after they were retired. How many of you want to know what their number one concern was then at that point? Loneliness. Loneliness. However much money they had, whether it was not enough or whatever, they figured it out. And the thing about you, and you'll say, well, no, this isn't me. No, it's you, because you're a human being. And the mind of all of our minds basically work the same, okay? And we will expand or contract to whatever our environment is.
That's right.
So if you say, well, I can't afford that, or I can't do this, well, you know what you're really saying is, I don't want to afford that. I don't want to do this, okay? Because you can. And someday you will. If you don't pay really close attention to what I'm going to share with you tonight. Okay? So how many want to learn how to do it now to get the machine set up right so you're building momentum and not stuck in that situation? But here's the crazy thing about it is after a couple years, they're like, they figured out how to make do with what they had. But the biggest problem was loneliness. It was relationships. It was family. And in some cases, health. Okay, but even poor health is second compared to relationships. So happiness, money can't buy you happiness. Well, and then, you know, in the Bible and places like that, it says, oh, you know, you can't serve both money and God, you know? And there's a lot of these things that create a lot of confusion and make us think, well, I can only serve God if I'm poor. And then you have the other side of the equation that says, well, if you're not prosperous and being, quote, blessed, then you're not really serving God. That doesn't make any sense. You mean the person that's not born in a free market capitalistic system is born in another country that doesn't maybe have? Now, not that there's not. There's always, every place has resources and he can bless wherever. But come on, if my, quote, theology only works here in my country and doesn't work somewhere else, that's a bullcrap theology. That's not his universal law and universal truth. That's some system that we created in our modern culture, in our country. Okay? So happiness, relationship, identity, spiritual identity, health, these are the things that are on the happiness part of the grid. The other side, the rich, okay, or resources is skill. Right? Results, monetary, that type of thing, okay? So what happens is that this grid, for me, is like a balancing act, and it's a warning sign for me. If I'm in my life, and I'm putting too much time on projects, accomplishment, tasks, the things that I tend to, because my personality is very driven and focused, and I'm doing that, and it's causing problems in my family and my relationship and stuff like that, I'm like, whoop, wait a second. You know, I'll sit there and I'll just look up and I'll laugh and I'll look at myself in the mirror and go, you rich, miserable bastard. Yep. You got RMB syndrome right now. You say, well, Hans, I'm not rich. You know, I don't have the kind of resources you're talking about. Oh, really? Let's take you to North Korea or some other third world country. How many of you have running water in here? How many of you have running water? Oh, cool. Awesome. Good job. How many of you have electricity? Anybody got electricity? Wow. How many of you have a TV? Anybody got a TV? How many of you have a cell phone? Wow. Amazing. You just might be a rich, miserable bastard too. Come on now. So it's not like you have to be like uber super crazy rich compared to what? Compared to a lot of other people in a lot of other places, you are that rich, miserable bastard. Right? So rich compared to miserable, no happiness, no fulfillment. Bastard because don't know who my father is. Focused on all the lack and all the stress and all that instead of being thankful and sitting and trusting. Never satisfied. The primary, one of the number one factors, and I could talk about this guy all day long because this was my life. Okay? One of the primary things with that person is they're never satisfied. There's no contentment. Have you ever had a goal before? You accomplished the goal, and as soon as you got it, you're like, oh, that was wonderful. Now what? So here's a symptom of the rich, miserable bastard, is every time they reach a goal, it's like a mirage in the desert, right? As they're about to grab it right there, just, it's like sand, it just disappears. And then, but it's a little bit further out there. It's almost there. It's always just a little more, bigger, better, faster, bigger, better, faster, bigger, better, more, faster. That's the rich, miserable bastard. Okay? So, how about this guy? Journey of the rich, miserable bastard. Okay? Now, don't take this wrong. I freaking love his work. He is, in my personal opinion, who does not like Pirates of the Caribbean? I mean, come on. The original, the first one, our kids, that's like enshrined in like our family's history, okay? Like when our kids were little, we were just like, whoa, you know? Like incredible. The guy is extremely talented, okay? So what I say about him is just as a case study. And it's just a reflection, but it's to prove an earlier point that I made, okay? This guy, one of the recent headlines, okay? A star in crisis. Johnny Depp and his missing $650 million. Freaking missing. How do you freaking miss $650? How does it go missing? Okay? And if you read the article, and I'm going to tell you how, okay? Everything that I'm going to talk about here tonight, everything that this system that I'm going to share with you, True Wealth Formula, which is what I call it, okay? Everything that this thing deals with is what's there, okay? A person that, and this is the situation between somebody who's either an entrepreneur, good at sales. How many of you are what I would call a bootstrap entrepreneur in here? Okay? That's us. No formal education. We're not Harvard MBA business, you know, entrepreneurs. And those guys are amazing. Those are the, you know, the Facebooks and the, you know, all, you know, that's not us. She calls it Walmart, you know? Okay, so we're yeah. Now, if you are that's amazing. That's awesome. Like if you're high, you know, whatever, highly educated. But this is the situation. Most people, most business owners, how many of you do not have a formal background or an education in accounting? How many of you do not? Okay. All right. Legal. Okay. Finances. How many of you don't have? Okay. So what happens when you start a business? Okay. Now I'm putting it into context with business, but in his case, it's art. It's his craft. Okay. And you don't have that, then you start to have success because in business, you're selling, you're creating products, you're marketing, you're getting out there. You just, and then it starts to happen, okay? And then you do what he did. So the classic thing, I'm going to try to speed up because I'm just having too much fun. And I am trying to stick to a time here, okay? So we'll talk about all this tonight. But the situation with him, if you go down, he's in a lawsuit with people, with experts and advisors, okay, that were managing his assets. His balance sheet is stuffed with negative cash flow assets, okay? He probably had no idea. He trusted experts to do, but he probably also said, hey, you know, I like that island. I'm going to buy that island. Hey, you know, I want to do this. So the situation is he has a negative cash flow. Imagine this, negative freaking cash flow of $2 million a month. So in your mind, you say, if I could just make X, I'll be okay. No, you won't. Right. You'll F it up too, just like he did. Because if you don't have the knowledge and the education to do it, it's a done deal. Okay? So the numbers are just a number. Right? So if you don't have that kind of craziness to deal with, and I hope he gets through it, you know. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's awesome. But when I read that, I just went, oh my God, this is, and you know, and he's miserable. There's nothing more miserable than that. Okay, so let's talk about it. So 10% per year with no fear. How many of you would like to be able to do that? Okay, that's it? Only that many? How many want to do that? Okay, cool. Okay, so here it is. How to compound your money and increase cash flow every single month, quarter, and year without losing sleep at night or worrying about, quote, the market. Right? Okay, let's get into it. Okay, so again, investment tip. Hans, is Bitcoin a good investment? Beep, fail, big fail. Right? So we're going to talk again about, and it doesn't matter. Is real estate a good investment? Is this a good investment? Is this a good investment? Okay? We call that the opportunity seeker. Okay? You're looking to throw darts at a board, and you want somebody else to tell you, this is good, do it. So what we want to do here tonight is I want to share with you the system, the wealth-building system. Okay? I'd rather teach you how to fish than give you a fish. Anybody want to learn how to fish? Okay? All right, so here's the system. So we want to use a system-based approach here that's methodical. So there's three areas to this that we're going to cover. We're going to lay that foundation. Most people don't want to deal with the foundation because it's kind of boring. You know, they're kind of like, no, just give me the exciting stuff. Give me the sizzle, right? But the key with the foundation is a couple things. One, to get your head screwed on straight. Go through a reprogramming sequence, right? How you think about yourself, money, how, you know, get into human nature, that kind of thing. And to deal with the things that are driving that emotional element. Okay. Then we're going to go through tracking and automation systems and getting those systems set up. And I'm going to go through some of this stuff really quick because normally this is when we do the class, it's like a four class, you know, month thing, you know, homework and just, you know, it's intense. So the tracking is a stress reliever. Like it just gets everything automated and it just puts it on autopilot, like 95% of it on autopilot and gets you in control. Okay. And then growth and freedom. Then now we've got this foundation, we've got this system, and then we start to build strategy. Okay. So, if you don't have this app yet, you're going to want to download this app. And the reason why I throw this up now is because I don't want you to later be trying to download it and have problems with it, okay? So you can get it on the App Store or Google Play Wealth Builder and just download it. It's free and then create an account really quick. And if you haven't registered over at truewealthformula.com, you can do that. And feel free to do that while I'm talking, okay? Don't worry about, like, it's okay. I know that you're not chatting with somebody. I know you're... Okay, all right, so let's talk about the foundation. So again, number one, we're going to talk about reprogramming you for investing. We're going to talk about human nature, and we're going to talk about four types of debts or assets, okay? So reprogramming, right? So here's the bad news. Your brain is literally foobarred, okay? It's jacked, right? You've been conditioned since birth into the religion of consumerism, debt, and mass consumption, okay? That's it, since birth, right? Billions are spent by global corporations to keep you a broke debt slave. I'm talking billions and billions and billions, trillions of dollars. right? I mean, just think about this. You graduate high school, and the first thing that happens is you get a credit card offer. How many ever, you know this scene? You get a credit card offer. It's the first thing. And you go to college, right? Because go to college to get a good education. Now, we're strong believers in education, but the most valuable type of education is self-education. Because even if you go to college and you don't know how to self-educate, you're not going to do well. Some things require formal education. Other things, better to get, school of hard knocks. You know, I wish, like, my cousin Tim got accounting education. I wish I would have done that. Would have helped me. You know, but now you can learn that too. You don't have to, just because you're stupid today, you don't have to stay stupid. How many of you don't want to stay stupid? Yeah, two hands up. Okay, so. So these companies, they're working hard to get your money, like big time. Okay. So since you were born, and you guys remember yesterday morning, those commercials, a freaking commercial goes on and you know the words. What is that? That's programming. That's we're being bombarded. I mean, it's like up to, more than 30,000 impressions and images and messages per day that we're hit with. Okay, and there's all kinds of reasons for that. So get the credit card and you offer an amount and you're thinking free money, cool, I'll pay it later, right? We're programmed. I can afford the payments. That's our whole mindset. I can afford the payments, right? So the other part is that this whole thing that we're talking about, it's a completely different skill set. Okay, this wealth building and investing thing is, and we were talking about this tonight. I said, my world today, like, it's split between managing investments and businesses and some other, like, stuff. And then this other side, which is this kind of product dev marketing guy that wants to start, kind of doing that stuff again. But it's like two exact opposite things. And the thing about it is marketing is all about all-out massive action. It's just like you just hammer it. You do it. You just go for it, It doesn't matter if it's face-to-face marketing or print, whatever it is. You build out a campaign. Boom, you launch it. Yeah, boom. It's just, rah, yeah. If you do that in investing, you are toast. Yeah. Exactly. If you try to force it, if you try to make it happen, okay? So it's two very exact. I can't, like, investing and managing money requires patience. Freaking patience. Yeah, and you can't control it. You have no control. Right? So it's two very, so we're talking about a very, so the point is that the skill that you learn to make money is totally different than the one to keep it and then different than to grow it. Okay? So this is your brain on too much information. Okay? So this is the other problem. Right? If you want to learn about finances or money or whatever, how many of you ever felt? It's like just total information overload. Right? It's freaking TMI. Okay, and your brain just starts frying. That's the world. Like, it's just so much out there. Okay, so this, now we're going to really blast your brain. Okay, so that's your brain. Okay, this is a mapping of, you have 180 different biases. Okay, a bias is when you're biased or you lean towards something and you don't realize that you're doing it. Confirmation bias. If there's something I like, I'm gonna, tend to lean it. If I'm a Democrat, then anything that a Democrat says, I'm gonna agree with that. If I'm a Republican, anything that a Republican says, I'm gonna agree with that, and everybody else is wrong. Okay? That's just one example. There's a freaking 180 of them. That's it right there. So one quadrant is too much information. Okay? And there's 100 there, okay, or so. Another one is not enough meaning. Another one is the need to act fast. So if you have to make a decision really quick, your brain just your brain can't process it, so it just goes. So it's a whole listing there. And then the other one is, what should I remember? Okay, so 3 out of 4 of these have to do with information. And we're in what people say? The information age. Okay? So this is what you're dealing with when you're trying to invest, when you're trying to manage money, and your whole life you were programmed to do something with your money that is not in your best interest, that is in somebody else's best interest. Okay? And the people that do that programming, they know this. You probably don't. Right? So that's enough to do this to you, right? Right there. Okay? So this is the cycle. This is what happens in investing. Okay? So these are all the different emotions that happen. And what that is a rise and a fall of a market. Now, you'll want to write this down. Every market booms and busts. Every market. There's not a single market that doesn't boom and bust. Okay? Some boom and bust bigger than others. Okay? So what happens here is we go through this cycle of optimism to euphoria, and then as it starts to roll over, we get anxious, we go into denial, fear, desperation, panic, capitulation, despondency, depression. Oh, it's starting to come back, hope, right? I mean, this happened during the 2008 crisis. How many of you went through this before in your life? Anybody? Right? And so what's happening in the market now is you have all these, quote, experts saying, oh, you know, valuations are really high and, you know, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. Well, the hard thing about this is nobody really knows where this is at. Okay? And I'll touch on that a little bit. But just keep that in mind. Okay? No one knows. Nobody knows. Okay? Think about how many experts all day long, what they're doing is telling you what's going to happen. Right. Turn on the TV, yeah. Read a newsletter, read your email, go to websites. Yeah. Here's what's going to happen. Okay? You want to know why they do that? Because we're always going around asking people, is Bitcoin a good investment? It's because of this right here. So our brains have all these biases we can't handle, so we default to the expert to tell us. And the truth is, he has no freaking clue. They don't know either. But they're making a fortune, right? So you can write down, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Remember that. Okay? Now, so this is the general cycle. This is more simplified. So we all know, how many of you ever heard the saying, buy low, sell high? Buy low, sell high, right? Buy low, sell high, okay? Well, how come we don't do that? Now, this is what happens, and this is, when I say we, I mean like statistics. So what I'm talking to you about is research, statistics, the market as a whole, the average investor as a whole, okay? What happens is we cycle through these two dominant emotions, greed and fear. And towards the top, we buy, and then we capitulate at the bottom, and we sell. And then we repeat until we're broke, right? We do the exact opposite. So why do we know it here? Why here? Consciously, we know buy low, sell high. Why do we do the exact opposite? The reason is that right there. Okay? So, human nature, that's what we're talking about. Okay? So, the natural solution is, oh, let's just rely on an advisor. Okay? So, individual investors, this is over the last 30 years, different statistics show they average 1.9 to 2.6%. That's pretty bad. Not so good, okay? professional investors or advisors, statistically, they're not doing much better. This is a recent survey, study, whatever, research. You'll hear my rule on all of this here in a little bit. 90.2% underperforming their market benchmarks. So they're not hitting, they're not even doing what the market's doing, okay? And I've heard statistics that say as low as 3 to 4%, they're getting 3 to 4% per year when the fees are counted in, right? I don't know what the right percentage is, but it's not great, okay? It's not very good. So what happened with me along the way through this whole journey that I'm trying to accelerate a little bit is through, which I could tell you just story after story after story of being a CEO, managing IT, managing programmers' websites, doing product development, doing marketing campaigns, speaking once in a while, right? Managing other business startups and stuff like that, going, I can't do everything. I'm already doing probably a lot more than I should. I have to trust these experts, these people who understand accounting, attorneys, blah, 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 blah. And I can just tell you story after story. I mean, in the craziest stories, professional money manager. I can tell you about a 200-year-old bank that never was shaken and never had a problem through two world wars, through overthrows of kingdoms and all kinds of things. 200-year-old bank, okay, that was like the most safest, whatever, and went bankrupt, yep. Right? Money. Highly recommended, right? Yep. By people I trusted and knew, right? Well, if so-and-so says it's a good thing, it must be good. Yeah. We all do this. Why do we do that? Because of our biases. Because of our biases. 180 biases, okay? So it goes back to the thing I was talking about marketing earlier, the trusted advisor relationship. So now you're on the flip side, yeah. Right? This is what's great. For me, as a marketer, I started looking at this. I was like, wait a second. I'm on the flip side now. So I started just looking at all this, and I was like, in my mind, I just said this. And right here, I said, why pay for somebody else's learning curve when you can get the educational benefit yourself? What I actually said to myself was, I don't need to pay somebody else to make mistakes. I can do that on my own. For reals. Why am I going to pay for somebody else to make mistakes? I can do that. And if I'm making the mistakes, I can learn. I can learn, and I can improve, and I can tweak and test and get better. If I'm paying for somebody else's mistakes, I don't get the benefit of learning. All I'm doing is sitting there being pissed off. And I don't understand it. I'm like, what? Maybe I go to this other person instead. Okay? All right. So this is your brain on too much reliance on experts who are FOS. Okay? So human nature, this is it. Wrap it up, okay? We do emotional decision making. Okay? We're not logical at all. We're emotional. Okay? And we have terrible timing. Now, there's some people that are really good. They just have a knack and they're good. That's very small minority. Okay? Too much information is out there and it's just accelerating. You line up 10 financial advisors, are they going to tell you the same thing? 10 accountants, 10 CPAs, 10 attorneys. I talk to attorneys, they tell me one thing, and then a few months later or a year later, they tell me something different. Same person. So what are we supposed to do? Right? How many of you want to know what I did? You want to know what I did? I just said, I can make the mistakes on my own. I'll learn. Right? So what I did is I said, I want to simplify my life. I want to simplify, simplify, simplify. Make simplicity the highest value. I don't want to complicate my life. I don't want to be dealing with the racket that whole industry is. It's an industry of racket. Now, if you're involved in that industry, I'm not saying everybody is. Every industry has good people and bad people in it, okay? And there are some wonderful people that are involved in financial services industry, that are some wonderful attorneys, wonderful. We've had relationships with incredible people as well, okay? I don't want to say that. But generally speaking, it's not fun being in a situation where you feel like you're a hostage. And for me, for many, many, many years, I felt like there was a gun to my head. How many of you have ever felt that? That is not a fun feeling at all, okay? And then here's the other part. We're attracted to experts that make predictions who have a track record of underperforming. Okay, but we're attracted to that. We want that because we have questions. We want answers. We create the market. We create the need. They're responding to the need that we create, okay? And you need to understand that their primary model, now I'm even talking about like, there's this term fiduciary, okay? And that's a good thing. That means that there's somebody who is legally obligated to put your interests ahead of theirs, okay? Having said that, even this statement even applies in that situation. Their primary model and focus is sales. They're in business. They have to feed themselves and their family, okay? So a fiduciary has to balance that out and make sure that they're not, you know, always. I can't do that. I can't 100%, 1,000% of the time make sure I always do the right thing no matter how hard I try. Anybody in here ever made a mistake before? Despite your best efforts? Right? This is your money we're talking about. This is your life force. You've worked for it. You've been diligent. You saved. Okay? So they're in a sales model generally, and then an example of that, which we might hit on later if we have time, is this modern portfolio theory craziness versus compounding cash flow assets, okay? And then my FOS rule, okay? So I basically came to a point, I said, you know what? It's everybody, and it was more about myself. I said, I have, okay, FOS, you know, full of crap, okay? I have a rule, it's called full of crap, okay? So this is how it goes. How many want to know how it goes? You want to hear it, learn it? Okay. You're full of crap. 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 I'm full of crap. You're full of crap. You're full of crap. And you're full of crap. And you're full of crap. Guess what? Guess what? All of us have a percentage and a degree of FOS. And here's the problem. You don't know. You don't know what my percentage of FOS is.
That's right.
And I don't know what yours is. So when you're sitting down with a, quote, expert, professional, advisor, or they're sending you newsletters or whatever, right? Now here's the part of it. You don't know what my percentage is. Here's the other. I don't even know what my percentage of full of crap is. And neither do you.
It's true.
Now here's the other part of it. You may have absolutely 0% of full of crap at all. 100% no crap. Something's in your heart. You think it. You say it. You speak it. I hear it, I process it, I interpret it.
That's right.
Six levels of filtering,
yes.
Going through 180 biases on your side, 180 biases on my side.
That's a lot of crap.
Get it? How many of you get it? So even if you're totally perfect, there's something that's going to get misunderstood, misapplied, whatever, okay? So now do you understand my FOS rule? Okay? So I just know, everybody's fully, right? And we don't know what that percentage is. Now here's the thing, time is truth. So in time, you learn. So relationships, over time, things become, you get calibrated. In the beginning, your calibration is totally off. Over time, that calibrator, you get tuned in. And you know, oh, I've known this person for 3 years. I've known this person for five. I've known this person for 20. Yeah. Right? So time is a calibrator. Okay. So we have to keep the FOS rule in mind. Okay. So, and then the finally here on the human nature side of things is we're constantly attracted to the wrong kind of assets. Okay. So we're basically, face palm. We're in a cycle of despair. We're flipping from frustrate, too much information. I need to have someone help me, to then reliance and over-reliance on, quote, experts. And then, oh, God, that's screwed up. Oh, I can't believe, oh, man, I'm going to do it myself. Oh, I'm just totally overwhelmed. There's so much information. I can't do this. Who's ever been there? Okay. This is the battle. Okay. So the real solution is to learn a proven system and do it yourself. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not places where it's very wise to have an advisor, have an expert, have a professional. Okay, there are. But this system, this wealth building system, is going to put you in a much better position and a much better place to work with them, and they're going to appreciate it. If you're working in, and there's people here in this room that are very qualified, very good people. But if you're sitting down with somebody and you have this education and you already have your stuff together, it makes everybody's job a lot easier, okay? But this, for me, this was my answer, okay? And this is, I want you, if there's nothing else, I want you to write this down. Nobody will do for you what you aren't willing to do for yourself. And it's totally unrealistic and immature and ridiculous for you to expect them to. Well, I'm paying them. Yeah, they have a family to feed. You think if push comes to shove, they're going to put your interests in front of their families? No. You are basically denying one of the most fundamental things about human nature. Which is stupid. Right? Yeah. So we ask for it. We basically open the door for these situations, okay? So I looked back and I had done journaling for years and written notes. I had a mentor when I was young, a wealth mentor who taught me some things, and then just through a lot of different experiences and then research and trial and error and testing, I found three common denominators among the most successful investors, okay? Three common denominators, okay? Number one is they focus on building a base of cash flow assets. Number two, they use non-discretionary rules-based systems. What does non-discretionary mean? It means it's rules-based. It's a rule and it's a filter. My brain can't override it because my brain is what's screwed up. 180 biases. Okay? So I set the non-discretionary ND, keep that in mind, system up that determines. And the most successful traders and investors in the world, they use these systems, okay? Number three, they speculate strategically, okay? All right, so four types of assets real quick. So this is the money quadrant. If you memorize this and you learn this, you will be, and you teach it to your kids, grandkids, whatever, you will know more about money and assets and finance. You will be ahead of most, quote, even accountants that you sit down with. Okay, because things get overcomplicated. So what this is on the bottom left are consumer, okay? So consumer on the bottom left, to the bottom right, depreciating asset, top left, appreciating asset, top right, cash flow asset, okay? On a balance sheet, these are the four types of assets and or liabilities that are going to be found. So what is a consumer? It's really technically not an asset, but because it's consumed. But how many of you can list out some things that are consumed? Food, right? How about food? Housing, if you're paying rent or whatever, okay? Fuel, okay? Remember what I said earlier, we're consumers. We're programmed to be consumers. Now, we're a living, breathing organism, so we do consume. We consume air, food, water, right? Just look at the hierarchy of needs, right? Food, clothing, shelter, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So, okay, so the thing with that, so in this grid here, there's four types of debt and or assets, and I'm going to tell you right now the only type of good debt, okay, and that might jack with some of your thinking, but there is a type of good debt. If you have the knowledge and the base set up to be able to use it properly, okay, and wisely. So consuming assets could be like, you know, I have a credit card and I'm buying food on my credit card, okay? It's stuff that's consumed. When it's all, the point of that box is that when it's done, I have really nothing to show for it, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so then what happens? So we all kind of start off there in life. We're trying to just survive. Then the very next box to the right, depreciating asset, or what I call dumbass assets, okay? This is the very first thing that happens, people that start to make money. They start to buy nicer cars, a bigger house in a nicer neighborhood, okay? Boats, planes, trucks, cars, whatever you call it, right? So those are assets on your, so when you're buying stuff, when you're in transaction, when money's flowing back and forth, that's impacting your balance sheet. You may not be an accountant type person and you're not tracking a balance sheet, which would change. We do that within the class. We get everybody set up so that they're actually tracking and aware of that. But so the depreciating assets, they're negative cash flow. Okay? All of those things cost money to maintain. Okay? The top left, appreciating assets. These are things that we think, keyword, think, are going to go up in value. Right? So an appreciating asset would be, would a house, let me ask you a trick question. Would a house be an appreciating asset? Trick question. Okay? Depends. It depends. Depends on when you sell. Right? Is land a depreciating asset? Okay? So if I own a house and I buy it and then I end up for all, every year that I'm owning it, I'm paying maintenance, I'm paying to keep it up, right? And then I happen to sell it for less than I bought it. Was it an appreciating asset or a depreciating asset? It ended up being a DA. Okay? If I happen to do all that and I sell it for more than I bought it, what does it end up being? And are you sure? How do you know if you didn't track all the expenses attached to that house throughout the whole time period that you had it so that you adjusted your cost basis so that when you sold it, you actually know that you actually made any money on it? Okay? So you don't know. So the last one is the cash flow asset. Okay? If I buy a house and I have a rental property and it's generating rental income every single month, and I'm positive cash flow, is it a cash flow asset? Yeah. It could also be an appreciating asset. It might go up in value. Okay? It might not. So the main characteristic here is that your consumers, those are consumed. You have nothing to show for it. It's the worst kind of debt. Worst kind of debt you can have. The next one, depreciating asset, it's negative cash flow. Appreciating assets are typically negative cash flow. CFA or cash flow assets are positive cash flow. They put money in your pocket every year. They make you richer every year instead of making you poorer every year. Okay? The primary difference between the appreciating asset and the CFA, and I'll leave you with this, and then we'll go really deep into this in the class so that you just like got this down and you know it. Okay? The number one difference is that appreciating assets are exciting. It's what 99% of the population, quote, invests in. And they call it an investment. We don't call that an investment. We call it what it is, which is a speculation. If you don't have a control over the value and you are buying and holding it because you think it's going to go up in value, it's a speculation. Okay, most types of stocks, bonds, real estate, most of them fit in there. Okay. Cash flow assets, you're holding that asset because you've already calculated what it's going to pay you. Okay? So it's paying you. It's creating income. Okay. Back to our system. So the next one, number two, tracking and automation. Okay? So we're going to set up a wealth dashboard. We're going to talk a little bit about ND number one, our spending controls. This is how we build the wealth account and then optimize the balance sheet for cash flow. Okay? So here's a great one. Why people lose money. Just sit and think about that for a second, okay? Just absorb that right there. That's Stevie Wonder. He's blind.
<I'm>
He's having fun for a little while. I just, classic. Okay, so what we do is we set up a wealth dashboard. Okay, do I have it in here? Yeah, I do. So this is like a pilot flying IFR with no instrument panel. Okay? Yeah, so I want you to really internalize this. Okay, number one, all investing, money, and financial management starts with solid accounting, period. Not fun, but critical. If I don't have an accounting system and I don't have a way to track stuff, how do I ever know if my, quote, investment is working or not? You don't. Okay? You cannot manage what you cannot see. If you can't see it, you can't manage it. Okay? And so what we do in the class, and we set up, and right now it's easier than ever to basically aggregate all the accounts, get them into a single dashboard, okay, and to manage this all through a mobile app. And so what we do, and there's different apps that are out there, you know, that exist. And we basically, there's a couple that we like a lot, ones that I use, and we hack it. We basically hack these, and they're free, and it's all in your pocket, right? So basically what this means is that most people, they have financial accounts, and they got this out here, and they got some money over here, and some this over there, and this over there, and that over there, and whatever. If you ever hire a financial planner, the very first thing they're going to do is you're going to sit down, you're going to pay them a lot of money, a ton of money. And the first thing they're going to do is ask you for everything you have. And you're going to spend weeks trying to get balances and accounts and information and all this stuff, put it all on a piece of paper and bring it to them. You just paid them money to do that. Okay? But that's the starting point, because they can't advise you with it if they don't have the full picture. So when somebody says, do this, this is a good investment, what does that mean? There's no context. Okay? So what we do is, this is kind of like this, again, this is geared towards the self-directed investor, where you're taking responsibility and you're owning your own finances. And I'll just say this depending on the household, sometimes women have more skill set. Actually, women are statistically better investors than men. Have you knew that? Because they're more risk adverse. And so typically most people go after what's exciting, but women are a little more methodical and risk adverse. And so, you know, the stats that I've seen anyway, so there might be a situation where different personality types in the household could do different things. My personal conviction is men, this is your responsibility.
Yes.
You got to own this stuff.
That's right.
Right? You know, now the partner relationship, different people may be contributing in different ways and doing stuff. But we got to step in. We got to get our financial crap together.
Yeah.
Right? We got to, you know this. And so we do this. We set this up. And basically once it's set up, it's like 5 minutes a week to manage and track everything. Okay? Most of it gets put on autopilot, and it's just amazing. So we don't want to be a pilot flying around in IFR, instrument flight. IFR is instrument flight.
You can't see anything.
Yeah, you can't see anything. You're white out. Instrument flight rules, okay? So you're flying in the clouds, and when you're totally white out like that, you're 100% reliant on your instruments. You have to fly based on your instrument panel. See that dashboard? That's your instrument panel, okay? So if I was in those conditions as a pilot, and my panel, I had no panel, how long am I going to last? You have no idea. There's no way for you to know what's up, down, sideways, nothing.
Yeah.
Even with the instruments, you can start to get it all jacked up. It takes a lot of training.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you don't have this all system, this dashboard system, that's basically it. Okay? Crash and burn. Okay. Spending controls. Okay? This is ND number one means non-discretionary number one. I'm taking you through basically what we do in the class. Okay? But very expanded. We actually do the work, get it set up. So non-discretionary system number one, spending controls, okay? So this is how we build the wealth account, okay? On autopilot every single month. without fail. Okay? How many of you would like to see your capital increase? I'm not even talking about investing. I'm talking about your capital growing and increasing every single month, totally on autopilot, without fail. How many of you like to see that? Okay? This is how you do it. Okay? So the rule here is it's what we call the 70% rule. You want to live off of 70% of your income, period. Okay? Now, some people are struggling to live off 100%. They say, 70%, I can't do that. Remember what I said earlier. You will figure it out.
Right.
You will figure it out. You don't want to figure it out, but you will figure it out. Either you will figure it out now, or you will be forced to figure it out later. Okay? This is how we used to live. Oh, man, I had some slides that ghosted on me. Okay, so the key here is to stop living above your means, okay? Produce more than you consume, okay? So the secret, here's the key. This is a TWF secret, two-well formula. Okay, never budget in money. Always budget in percentages, okay? The masses, basically, the wealthy don't manage money by dollars and cents. They manage it always through percentages. They manage their businesses by percentages, their companies, their financials, and their personal finances and their investments through percentages, okay? Everybody else tries to budget. I knew a guy who's been an accountant for 40 years, and he tries to help people set up budgets. And I was given a small training, and I looked down and I said, Manuel, out of everybody you teach how to do budgeting, and he has all of these brackets and categories, how many of you in here have ever tried to budget before, anybody? Okay, what I'm going to teach you right now is the simplest budgeting you will ever do in your life.
Yes.
It's totally simple. Okay, so I'm like, Manuel, you spend a lot, you coach me, you know, 40 years, you've been doing that. I want to see if like my thinking is right. You know, how many people that you sit down with and you go through and you help them set it all up and you get their budgets all set up and then you do all that and they pay you, you spend time, you do all that. How many people actually follow it? And without a second hesitation, he said less than 5%. Less than 5%. There's only one personality type that will actually do like conventional budgeting. Okay? And then out of that, there's even a smaller percentage that will, you know, do it. So how many of you want to know the easy way? Okay? So what we're doing is we're looking at what the masses do. We look at what the successful and the wealthy do. And we do what they do. Okay? Do the exact opposite. So this is it. ND number one, you want to master this, okay? So we'd set up four accounts. This is off of a $5,000 a month earning example. The first one is a giving account. 10% goes into that. You say, well, giving, I don't want to give. Okay, if you don't give, you won't receive. Go ahead. You want to screw around with the law of gravity? There are certain laws that the Creator set things up a certain way. They're non-negotiable laws. If you think that gravity doesn't exist and you want to go ahead, have fun with that. Go climb the top of this building and no, don't do it. Because those are what Hans said. Okay? So the law of giving is real. It's a real law. It's how He set things up to establish His government system. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom here. The kingdom is a government system. Right? So, you know, those that are physically unable to work. Right? Handicap, orphans, widows, sick. Okay? All right. If we were doing our job with that, we would not have a government that is doing what it's doing, which is take and, you know, and what they're doing is they're acting as a quote, I'm trying to put this in the best. they're acting as a transfer agent to redistribute and you know, manage everything. But in that system, there is a lot of hands in the pie. A lot of bias, a lot of inefficiency, a lot of quid pro quo, a lot of, you know what, okay? So if we did what we're supposed to be doing, you know, he says it could be done off of 10%.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to know how much we pay in taxes, right? Okay, So number two is, and that's typically a checking account. So off of a $5,000 a month, that would be $500. So it's just percentages. Okay. Number two is your wealth account, and that would be 10%. That could be a savings or a brokerage account. Okay. Now, a wealth account is not a savings account. A savings account is just money you put somewhere so you can spend it later. Okay. A wealth account is a wealth account. It is your seed money. Okay. Money is seed. You can either, what's up? So you can either eat the seed or you can plant the seed. Okay? So the wealth account is like you're segmenting it. It's in a different, you just put up a firewall. You put up a firewall between your brain. This is your first non-discretionary formula. Between your brain that has 180 biases, that the first emergency that happens, the first bad thing that happens, the first sale that goes on, the first, oh my God, I need this, I'm going to go reach in there and dip in. No, firewall. You will figure out a way. If your income, how many of you think your life would be better if your income doubled? If I had a magic wand, I'd say, double your income today. How many think that'd be a good deal? Gosh, guys, come on. Come on. Okay. All right. If I did that, you know that you would just increase, everything would just increase. You'd just live in a nicer house, bigger house, nicer car, whatever. Now, what if I come and I said, I'm going to cut your income in half? What do you think would happen? Okay. 3 months, 6 months, 1 year from now, you'll be okay. You figure it out. You figure it out. You do what you got to do. You adapt. You do what you got. You'd figure it out. Okay? So this is all about putting up a firewall and you telling your money what its purpose and its reason for existence is. If you don't tell your money what its purpose is, it will tell you. It will influence you. Okay? Then the next one is a debt account, checking account. That would be 500. And then you're going to live off of 70% of your income, which is your bills account. That's also a checking account. Okay? Now, you should be putting 20% into your wealth account. Okay, that's the ratios. Okay, 20%. These ratios, by the way, how many of you want to know where this formula came from? 20% is what Joseph used to save during the famine. That's how he administered and governed. 20% held back in the storehouse, kept them, that nation, Egypt at the time, and even the nation of Israel at the time from being wiped out. Okay? So, and it's funny because only recently, a few years ago, this is the thing that's so funny about all the experts is they recently started to change their numbers. Traditionally, it was always a 4% withdrawal rate and there's all this kind of stuff. And then now they're like, well, 4% is probably going to have to do less. And guess what? People really should be saving for retirement, okay? They really should be putting aside 20%. Exact same number that we've been using I've been teaching this for more than a decade now, more than that, and we were using it long before that, okay? All right, so that's the system right there. You want to get those accounts set up, and you don't. Each account has a reason and a purpose, and that's why it's there. So the point is that when the debt is knocked out and cleared out, the bad debt, because if you have good debt, then the cash flow asset is actually paying the debt, okay? It's its own separate ecosystem. It's its own system, okay? But this is your earned income. This is the money you're working for. We're going to convert money you're working for into money that's working for you, okay? So the next thing we do is we're going to optimize the balance. This is all in the second stage here. Optimize the balance sheet for cash flow. I'll go through this real quick. But we look at all your assets and liabilities. We restructure the debts for accelerated snowball payoff. And then we roll them into the wealth account. We restructure non-productive negative cash flow assets into positive cash flow assets. Okay? So this is that process of getting the wealth dashboard set up, getting everything set up. Okay, this is that second pillar of system, or tracking and automation. Okay, so we're getting all this stuff set up, and we're identifying what are the assets that are crappy assets, okay? So the whole goal here is we want to go from an unhealthy, rich, miserable bastard balance sheet that's stressing you out and making you poor every single year to a healthy, freedom, security, and fulfilled balance sheet, FSF balance sheet, that's bringing you peace and makes you richer every single year, okay? Some of those things can happen quick. Some of them take time, you know, to work out. Depends on what's there. Okay, then the last part, growth and freedom, okay? So, I love this photo. So Jack Sparrow, how many know Jack Sparrow? I like this guy. He says, that's not what a ship is. You know, it's not a keel and a hull and a deck and sails. That's what a ship needs. But what a ship is, what the black pearl really is freedom. Right? I mean, that's the most like, when he said that, I was like, yes! Like, that's so, you know? And for me, that's what it's about. It's about reaching financial freedom, okay? So about building that foundation and getting the machine working. So that, I mean, just picture this. What if, and usually like with the people, the clients that I work with and stuff, if this system gets to the financial independence point in 20 years or less, okay? You say, well, that's a long time. I don't have 20 years. Yeah, you do. You're going there no matter what. Guess what? You actually, that's where you're going. You say, well, maybe I'll be dead. And so that means your legacy won't continue? Why do you think in terms of this life? Okay? So when this stuff is done right, it's not work for 40 years, 40 hours a week, put in, and then retire and hope that you have enough money to live off of before you die. Okay? No. It's getting to a point, and we identify that exact line that needs to happen to where that financial freedom comes. And then the question is this: if you didn't have to work for money, what would you do with your time? What would you do with your time? Now, you might do the thing you're already doing. You might love what you're doing. You might continue to do that, right? But think about how maybe your focus would be a little different. Your complete reason for doing it would be different, right? Well, you may go and you do something that you've wanted to do. You may give back more. You may contribute. But what it does is it changes your world to focus more on the FSF, the freedom, security, and fulfillment, more the fulfillment, by giving back, by contributing, by doing something, you know, value contributing to society rather than just surviving. Okay? Changes everything, right? So what's the freedom mark? Where's the line? There's actually a line. There really is. Okay? All right, growth and freedom. So we can hit income optimization, ND2 and ND3, investing strategies, and we'll talk about some investing strategies and examples. Okay, so the income optimization, what we do is we assess all the current sources of income. We identify active, passive, and leverage. What we're looking here is for low-hanging fruit, okay? This is our active income. This is a quick exercise that we go through. And we identify and apply new economy skill sets to 2x at the minimum your earned income. Okay, so what we want to do is we're just putting these formulas and these systems in place so that you're at the same time that you're driving your debt down and you're restructuring your balance sheet, you're jacking your income up. Okay? And then we apply the KSCA, knowledge, skill, contacts, and action formula to further turbocharge earned income. Okay? I'm going through some of that quick, and then other things, obviously, I'm taking more time. Okay, non-discretionary formula number 2. So this is capital allocation. So if I followed ND number 1, then I have a wealth account now. How many of you have a wealth account? How many of you paid off debt since you've been going to First Step Success, use war on debt? How many of you paid off debt where your business has grown and you have money that's some money that's building up, right? These are the two most common things that I see happen. Number one, paid off the debt, and then because of not knowing and having the path and knowing what's next, like there's nobody better than what she does to get you like bam, I'm gonna get this debt paid off, you know? And you get up in front of the room and yay! Da-na-da! 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 You know, right? You know, you get your photo, you know, you feel good. Woo, I'm debt free. I am debt free. You sing your song. You feel good, right? Anybody ever done it yet? Yeah. And then, right? So what I see happen most of the time is you pay the debt off, then rack it right back up again. Pay it off, rack it back up again. So two scenarios. One, that's the first most common one. How many of you have ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Okay. If you paid it off, rack it back up, don't raise your hand. Okay. The next scenario is the wealth account is building, capital's building, but you don't know what to do. Either don't have the you don't have the system or the knowledge, or you're fearful. You're afraid. And what he said is the guy that take it and just stuffed it under the rock. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to be fearful. We're supposed to step out in faith and take risk with wisdom. And the one, he said, he went out and he traded the one he gave one talent. And he said, I knew you were, you know, judgmental, wicked, sir. You know, what he was doing was talking to him. You know, I just stuck it in here. I was afraid. So here you go. Here's your talent back, right? And the guy, the other ones, got two talents and five. They went out, and what it says very specifically, they went out in the marketplace and they traded it. Yep. And they made, the guy that had two came back with four, and the one that had five came back with ten. Okay? They went into the marketplace, they took a risk, they traded it, right? So that's the second scenario, is that maybe you're you know, and so what I started tonight off with is that we want you guys to become part of the ownership, the owner part of the economy, okay? You got to get out of this renter side of the economy, and you got to start to accumulate assets, okay? And the right kind of assets. And you don't have to start with $1 million or $100,000. You can start with small amounts, okay? So this is how you do it. This is how you allocate it. This is how you do it. So this is modeled after the banking industry. And this is something that for me, and this ties into the family bank concept, which we get into, not tonight, but I'll talk about the legacy building side of things. But how many of you ever heard of tier one liquidity ratios before? Back in the financial crisis, that was a very important thing. And they do these things with the banks called stress tests, okay? Tier one liquidity ratio, what is that? If a bank is over leveraged and they have the wrong kind of assets on their balance sheet and they don't have enough, you know what tier one liquidity is? Cash and cash-like assets. Those are short-term bonds on a balance sheet. Those are called current assets. Assets that can be easily liquidated within 12 months, okay? It could be precious metals. You see banks and multinational, you know, they'll hold precious metals. They'll hold gold, okay? So they have to keep those ratios in line. And if they get out of whack, it's really bad, okay? So that's tier one. So tier one are, it's the same for us. This is how we manage our wealth account. So if I have $10,000 in my wealth account, I don't just go take $10,000 and buy Bitcoin because some guru said Bitcoin's going to the moon. Does that make sense? This is why when somebody says, Hans, is this a good investment? I don't know. Are you a good investor? Because that's the only damn question that matters. Doesn't matter if it's a good investment or not. Are you a good investor? Okay. And this is why a fiduciary or somebody won't, if you ask them questions, they're not going to give you a single answer until they've sat down and they do the same process. What we're talking about here and what we do in the class is the same exact process. They get all the information, get it together, make sure they understand the whole situation. What we're doing here is we're saying, no, I'll do that myself, manage my own affairs. Then I can go hire somebody. I sit down, I'm like, here it is, man. I've got this going on, whatever, but I got this little need or this little hole here. Help me solve this specific problem. Well, we think you should do it. No. That's cool. Thank you. Appreciate that. No, let's do this. This is the need I have. This is what you're an expert and a specialist in. Okay? So this is how we do it. So tier one liquidity. So if I've got $10,000 in my wealth account, I apply this ratio here. Okay? So T1 is liquidity slash safety. And we go into a lot of detail in the class, but tier two is our cash flow assets. And then tier three is speculation. Okay? So here's a couple quick examples. My personal ratio that I use for me is basically about an 80-20, with 80% being, quote, safe or safer. So that means T1 and tier two, okay? Some cash, some precious metals, and then income-producing assets, okay? Cash flow assets. And then 20% being tier three, speculation. So what this does is it gives people like me a little pot to have some fun with. Because that other stuff is really boring. Okay? It's not boring when I look at what it is, project, you know, the future value of the money, but today it's not too, you know, like when you're first, it depends on where you're at in the cycle, but it's not too exciting. Okay? There's a certain personality type. It's not so much about the money. It's about something else, right? And this is a big thing. Like I probably some in that personality, it's the money. There's another part that it's not. It's a challenge. Yes. Yes. And it's not a challenge against who's better, me or you. It's me against me. You know, okay. So that's my system, and it gives me a little portion. So if I have 10,000, 80%, or if I have 10,000, 8,000 of that is going to be focused on, you know, tier one and tier two cash flow type assets. And then I get $2,000 to speculate with. Okay? Now, if I'm just starting off and the market's really high like it is right now, who knows what's going to happen with the market. I'm not just going to throw everything in. I might start with, like, another example could be a 25-25-25, right? And this would be kind of a hedge, a balanced out. 25% cash, 25% short-term bonds or municipal bonds or precious metals, another 25% dividend-paying stocks or real estate, and the last 25% real estate or whatever, okay? All right. So what we're doing is we're layering this system, right? So the first system gets the wealth count and establishes that on autopilot. The second system is how we manage and we allocate the capital. Now we get into more specifics and we use ND number three. And this gets into our five core investing rules. It gets into volatility-based position sizing, which is how the pros manage their portfolios, how the best traders in the world, the most successful investors and traders use volatility-based position sizing so that the portfolio is equalized, okay? And I don't have time to get into that, but we go into it in massive detail. And then stop-loss strategies as well as other market or asset specific strategies for real estate and others, okay? So this is why this is so important. And this ND number three is all about risk management. So the classic thing with the amateurs, they're focused on gain. They want to make money. How do I make money on an investment, okay? Is real estate a good investment right now? The stock market's really high. Is it good? Okay, so the primary thing with the amateur or the masses is focused on gain. What separates them from professionals, from the wealthy, is their number one priority is risk management. The first question they always ask is, what is the risk? How do I manage the risk? What's my exit strategy? And if they can't answer those questions, then they don't even start. Okay? So it's a risk management game. Okay? So that's what the non-discretionary number three does. So here's why you got to focus on risk management. This is a... So if you lose mathematics thing. If I lose 1%, this is a drawdown. So what, we have a different chart. This one's kind of cool, cause visually you can see it. The other one is a little bit simpler. And I probably, I like this one visually. But, so what it is if I have a drawdown, of 1%. Drawdown means my account goes down, the value goes down. Of 1% down, I only need 1% to get back to up to get to even, okay? If I go down 5%, I need 5% to get to even, but then look what starts happening. If I'm down 10, I need 11 to get to even. If I'm down 20, I need 25. If I have a drawdown of 30, I got to get it back. I got to go up to 43, okay? Go down a little bit further. If I have a 50% drawdown, I have to now double. I have to get 100% gain just to get back to even. So back in 08, when the market got hit 50%, so if you lose 50%, you don't have to gain 50% to get back to even. You have to gain 100%. So this is why the risk management side of things are so important, and having these rules-based systems so that we know, okay, we know, in other words, we know before we go in what the normal amount of volatility is for a company or a stock or a position or whatever, and then we set rules up, and if it breaks that normal range, we're out. There's a couple different ways to set this up. But so this so some investing strategies and examples. Okay, so this is something that we do in this, you're not gonna be able to really see this, it's so small, but this is over 30 different types of investments, and it's investment returns and characteristics. So we have a chart here. This is the other part of it. So this thing goes on. It's like a gnarly, crazy spreadsheet from hell. So what I did, what I started to do is just catalog all these things. I started to make a list and I started to categorize and list. Okay, what are the different types of investments? What are their characteristics? What's either their known or average ROI over time or expected? Okay, not guaranteed, but just expected. Okay, is it a tier one, tier two, tier three asset? Is it a cash flow asset? Is it have a way to compound money over time? Can it be automated, right? Depending on your lifestyle, something that we do is we look at temperament and lifestyle preferences. If I'm a busy person, I don't have time to be like looking at my account all day long and managing all this, you know, stuff, you know? So depending on my temperament, and my lifestyle is going to dictate the kind of strategies in what I do, okay? So different types of assets and investments have different characteristics, okay? So it's not just about how do I make 5% or 2%, you know, that's like just one part of it, okay? So can I automate it? Is it liquid? Some assets just aren't very liquid at all. Real estate. You know, the only time real estate is really liquid is at the peak of the market. I mean, it's fairly liquid as the market's climbing, but it's not like you can be out in a week or two. I mean, sometimes that's, you know, or a day or two, you know. Sometimes you can't get out, and you're stuck sucking eggs year after year after year after year, negative cash flow, okay? Is it a low volatility type asset? Is it passive or is it more active? Is it simple? Is it have a low entry cost? Meaning that, you know, I can buy a stock for, you know, Amazon's over $1,000 now, but, you know, you can buy a stock for $10, $20, $30, $40, $50. So I can start small, but to buy a house, I need a little more capital. Unless I'm going to go do the OPM game, other people's money, but that's a different deal. Okay, so we classify, you know, low transaction costs. Different types of investments have higher costs to do the transaction. Others are small, okay? Does it easily allow diversification? Can I apply a non-discretionary exit strategy to this type of asset? Meaning, can I set up a rule ahead of time so that whatever happens, then I'm out? Or am I, because some things you just can't really do that, okay? Can I use leverage? Is there inflation protection? So anyway, is it a good legacy asset? Is it tax advantage? Where do I report this asset on my 1040 when I file my taxes? You know, if it generates income or whatever. I mean, like that's, you know, so we have this whole thing. It's crazy, like this crazy chart that we do. Super fun, but makes it a little bit easier because then you're not just like, there's all this stuff out there. Then it's just like, oh, this is it. And I can look, and what's important to me? Oh, okay, this, I like that, that's it, boom. But now I'm aware of the universe that's out there and the options that exist, okay? Going the wrong way. Okay, so 10% a year with no fear. Let's do it. Woo-hoo, I like this guy. Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it. Who is that? Albert Einstein. Okay, this is a chart. It's an old one. It's great. It's fantastic. Investor A, investor B. This is why you got to start now and don't wait. Okay, time, you got to do it. So what happened here is one guy at age 19, he put $2,000 in. This is into an IRA. He put $2,000 a year in for 7 years. Then the rest of his, so from age 19 to 25, $2,000 a year, then he stopped. He didn't put anything else in, okay? The other guy at age 26 started. So he waited 6 years difference. 7 years. Okay? He waited and he started at 26 instead of 19, and he started putting his $2,000 a year in, okay? At age 65, one guy put $2,000 in for 7 years. The other one waited 7 years later and started. He put in $2,000 a year for 40 years. At age 65, they both have about the same amount. Okay? This is compound. This is what this guy was talking about. How many of you think he was kind of smart? Okay? But see, we don't do this because we speculate. We do something, oh, that's good, oh, great, and then I pull it up. We don't plant the seed and culture and nature, the orchard to give us fruit. As soon as that thing gets going and the roots start going, we yank it out and we go to somewhere else. Okay? So this, if you look at this, you say, wow. If you look at, how many of you ever looked at any charts or graphs of compound interest? Not a lot happens the first 10 years. It's really boring. And then all of a sudden at year 10, it starts to get exciting. And then at year 20, it goes vertical. So it's a 20-year deal. And then after that, it just goes like hockey stick pattern. Okay, in almost all the different charts. Okay, so I'm going to give you a couple examples here. Again, going back to this, right? 10% a year, no fear. So here's another example. This is 10%. So this is going back to that $5,000 a month. You do ND number one. You get the debt done. Now that 20% going in your wealth account is $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. Okay? So we're going to do this generically. This is compounding with a reinvestment program. Okay? Where you set things up and you just put it on autopilot. Okay? $12,000 a year, your starting point. And that's all the numbers, but I'm just going to jump, okay? So some studies, I've read different studies that show 60% and some over 90%, okay? That up to 90% or more of the returns in the market are from dividends. You say, no, this guy bought Amazon when it was down here and now it's up here. How do you know that he didn't sell it when it got here? This is where the market's gone. But what happens is people that are investing in dividends, it's on autopilot, it's just compounding. This guy, John Bogle, he's like very well known, and you can do your own research, do your own studies, whatever. But in his thing, he came at 95%. This is over an 81-year time period. 95% of the actual realized returns came from dividends that were reinvested and compounding over time. Okay, what is that? That's planting the seed and letting it grow. Okay, not this, this absolute return, thing where, okay, I hope I have enough money so that when I want to retire, I can live off of it and I don't die before I run out of money. Okay, so this system, what it does, so here it is. So using ND1, $5,000 a month times the 20, which 20%, which goes in the wealth account, that's $1,000 a month. Okay? So that's $12,000 a year. And then we're just using 10% as an example for 20 years. Okay? At year 18, it totally replaces the income. So this goes back to this. The numbers are in here. At year 18, the cash flow has replaced the income. Just the cash flow. Okay? And now at year 20, the annual income is $72,000 a year. That's the income, the cash flow. That's without touching the principal. The principal balance is $813,000. Okay? At year 30, the annual income is almost $250,000 a year. 30 years, where are you going to be?
Exactly.
Where are you going?
Exactly.
You going somewhere important? Okay. Without touching, this is without touching the principal. So this is the exact opposite of all of the financial stuff that's out there that's geared on build that capital base up, then eat the seed and live off of it. And then, so you look at all the financial, all the calculators, all the plans, everything. They all go like this. And then, okay, the retirement event happens and then it goes like that. And it's all about, how long am I going to live? Am I going to have enough? And what we're saying is no, if you do this, if you do these type of investments, that thing's going to keep growing and you're going to just live off of, you're going to walk out into the orchard and you're going to pick some fruit. And the orchard's still producing.
Right.
And then when you die, somebody in your legacy is going to manage and maintain that orchard.
Right.
And they're going to walk out and pick some of that fruit. But they're not going to go chop down trees. Okay? So you say, oh, Hans, that's just a hypothetical, you know, nobody 10%, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine, I got you. You're right. Okay, let's try this one. Okay? You will regret saying that, okay? This is a real-life example taken from the market close yesterday, Friday, November 10th. Okay? Same example, now we're taking a particular type of stock company, share price, $34.05, dividend, 3.41%. It's not 10%. Okay? They grow their dividend every single year at 15.23%. Okay? All the other variables are the same. Okay? Still plugging in, putting away $1,000 a month. Okay? That's this chart. All the numbers are there. Okay? Replaces the income at 13 years. And continues to compound every single year. At year 20, the annual income is $1.2 million. Without touching the principal, which is now over $4 million. And at year 30, it's too ridiculous to even talk about. For reals. You say, well, that sounds impossible. That probably ain't going to happen. Okay, you're right. Cut it in half. I'm not talking about principal. I'm talking about the cash flow. Okay? Okay. All right. So can we do 10% per year with no fear? Yeah. What's the no fear part? It's those non-discretionary rules and systems and formulas. We don't have to worry about what all the experts are saying. Right? We can actually very methodically, very systematically manage our risk. And that's what we focus on is managing risk. Okay? Interesting conversation. We were in Hawaii with my brother and they're looking to buy a house and the real estate market has just gone up. It's Hawaii. Like, it's very expensive to own a house. And we got into this conversation and this is the same message for everybody here. I told them, I said flat out, I said, you guys cannot afford not to. You have to become an owner. Because if you're just holding on to cash, that's going to be, and you say, well, the government says inflation's only at 2%. Go ahead and explain that to somebody who's living in Hawaii.
That's right. That's total BS.
What is the government's FOS ratio? I don't know. I don't even want to start to answer that. Okay? So all the experts and all the officials and all the authorities say it's X, but I'm looking and I'm seeing something that's Y. So in their case, it's like, well, we don't, you know, it keeps going up. Yeah, you're right, it does. So you just wait. Now, what's going to happen if you wait 10 years or you wait 20 years? You think it's going to be less? Well, this cataclysmic event, something might happen and the world might end. Well, you're right. In that case, it don't matter anyway, does it? Here's the thing. Every market booms and busts, and every single bust has been followed by a boom every time. The market, whether it's real estate market, stock market, whatever, it's never crashed and not come back.
True.
Hasn't happened yet.
No.
Okay. So do we want an investment tip or do we want a wealth building system? All right. So we're going to do a class. We're going to start actually this next week. And so what we do in this is we set up and we implement your very own TWF wealth building plan. Okay, how many of you'd like to get this thing set up for yourself, right? To where you have this thing, you've got the dashboard, you've got it on autopilot, you know what's going on, you're in control, you understand it, you've got a system that you can start to take more responsibility over your finances, okay? So we get that thing set up, we get it, and it's personalized, and you're doing it, right? But we're taking you through some worksheets and some processes, and it's, again, it's the self-directed investor. This is not for somebody that doesn't want to take the responsibility, right? Like if it's for somebody that's saying, okay, I want to be responsible. I agree. Nobody's going to do for me what I'm not willing to do for myself. So I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to own this thing, and I'm going to learn. How many of you believe that you can learn whatever you apply and put your mind to? Okay, you can learn this. Okay, you can do this. All right, so we get your, we do a lot of Q&A. So we do questions and answers. I'm not a licensed investment advisor, CPA, account attorney, so I don't tell you what to do, but I'll tell you what I do. So, well, if it was me, this is what I would do. Or I'll say, well, what do you think? How would this apply to that? Right? So this is about, so you learning to think. I mean, could you imagine if you could answer? So all the noise, think about all the noise that's out there concerning. My basic philosophy is life comes down to two things, money and relationships. It's basically it. Everything that's going on in life is those two things. And money is just a medium of exchange to represent, you know, access to resources. But if you look and you look at everything that you do in your life, it's tied to one of those two things. So how much longer are you going to wait to master the money game? How much longer do you want to be in the swirl of TMI? Right? So we're going to focus on breaking bad habits, fears, and more. We're going to reprogram your mind for wealth, right? Get the brain tweaked and reprogrammed for the wealth building process, right? So you're going to become a propaganda and BS detection expert, okay? Including your own. You're going to learn how to detect your own propaganda and BS, okay? All right, exactly. You're going to learn exactly how I'm personally implementing the TWF system today, including the very tools that I use, the systems and the technology that I'm using to manage money and invest all from here. Okay? Because our lifestyle and stuff like that, you know, and she's saying sometimes I'm like, hey, just give me a couple minutes. I got to manage, you know, da 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 da. And then, oh, cool, you know. And let me ask you, am I like, I mean, I'm busy and doing my work and stuff like that, but when we're together and all the traveling that we're doing, we go days and I'm, you know, yeah, I'm checking email and I'm doing stuff like that and I'm reading because I love to read. So I'm, yeah. So, you know, I don't have the RMB anymore. Okay. So that's the whole point for me when I was looking at this. I was like, I want to minimize reliance on other people to the extent that I can. And when I want to do it wisely, right? And I want this thing to be portable. I want to manage this totally portable. So I spent a lot of time, you know, okay, boom, 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 research, figure out how can I manage this while I'm on the fly, you know? So that's what I'll be sharing. We're going to go through a 12-point action plan checklist, okay? So this is the TWF implementation checklist. And when you're done, you'll have a master plan for yourself as a self-directed investor, okay? So this is the checklist that we actually do through the class. We go check one, boom, 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 boom. Okay, as a pilot, any pilots in here? How many of you are pilots? Do you use a checklist? Yeah. Yeah, you use a checklist, okay? So you have a dashboard because you don't want to be flying like this. You don't want to be Stevie Wonder. Okay, so when it's white out, we got our instrument paddle, all that white out from that photo that I showed earlier, that's the financial world, that's the swirl, that's all the information, that's the news, that's the headlines, that's all the everything, okay? So we got our dashboard, we got our plan, our strategy, And we got our checklist. So in the class, we just worked through this checklist. Boom, 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 boom. Right? And we get all the, we just, you know, knock it out, okay? Some of what we'll be focusing on is getting those financial and tracking systems, the wealth dashboard set up like I talked about, the non-discretionary decision filters, the ratios, and the systems for the money management. Putting your system on autopilot, I'm a big, like, fan. Like, if I have to do it, it sucks. So to the extent, it's like, how do we do it on autopilot? You know, with our family, with Zach, he has real estate rental properties in Rome and stuff like that. And we spend time, we strategize, and we're like, okay, how do we get these accounts set up so that we can automate all the activity, right? And the technology nowadays, it gets smart, and it memorizes, and it does that. So we get this thing set up so that we're minimizing so that when you're flying a plane, once you got everything dialed in and set up, you're just monitoring it. You're not like flying like this. You know, you're just making sure that everything's on track and you're watching, you're doing your instrument scan and you're looking. Oh, if a light goes on or something, then that, oh, that needs attention. Okay. So asset characteristics and optimization, your balance sheet for the wealth building and cash flow. I already talked about that. How to convert debt into wealth and cash flow. And then the new economy power skills, identifying your temperament and your primary and secondary investment strategies, earned versus unearned income and where it's reported on your tax return. We already talked about that a little bit. Investment rules and systems to manage risk and remove the fear. Okay. How to work with advisors and other specialists, because we do need them, and we honor those people that have that expertise. And there are times and places where we need that, but we don't want to live our life with the second most important thing in our life, relationships with our Creator, relationship with ourself, and our spouse and our kids. The relationship part being the highest priority. That money part is important. We don't want to neglect it. We don't want to be a bad steward. Okay, and we also don't want to stuff it under a rock. So we want to basically be able to work with those advisors and not be a victim.
That's right.
Not sit down like a deer in headlights, like this.
Yeah.
Okay, this is another thing. Work on your personal and your legacy vision to get that really clear and implemented. So you have an immediate focus and goal, and then you have this long term. Okay. 30 different options to make money on your money, from anywhere from 1 to 20 up to 20%. Obviously, that's anytime you get over 10%, or it's high risk, right? It's very speculative. So the focus, again, is building cash flow that increases every single month, okay? My cash flow increases every month, every quarter, every year, because it's compounding, okay? So that's what we want to do. All right, so what you're going to get, okay? This is going to start Thursday. That's Thursday night, 6 p.m. Central Time. It's a very small group if you want to do this. And I'll take you through and I'm going to show you, work with you, set it up, the whole thing, okay? So you get access to all four classes. There's going to be four total. Again, they start this Thursday and at 6 p.m. If you want to do this, you can do it right through the mobile app, okay? Right through the Wealth Builder app that you hopefully download. There's a lot of free training and content on there, but this is for people that, there's a few of you here in the room that are looking at this and you're like, okay, that was cool, but I want to actually do it. So the thing with the class, like, it's not a presentation, a training. I just gave you the outline and we went through it and you can take that and do it, but most people don't do it. They just get the information and then that's it. So with the class, it's an implementation class. So we sit down and we actually do it. We do it, get it set up so that you get, and when it's done, you have it, okay? The value, $4,995, you say, well, that's a lot. No, it ain't. Right? Have you ever sat down with a financial planner? How much do they cost? First of all, there's different fee structures, okay? I've sat down with them many times. You know what ends up happening? Again, this isn't, I know there's good ones, but I've sat down with them, pay my fee, and at the end, all he wanted to do was sell me some insurance. I was like, why the hell did I pay? Usually, when you're selling, that's a presentation. And then, you know, I shouldn't pay for that, but then at the end, I'm going to be sold insurance? Okay? $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, whatever, right? So that's that cost, but what about the cost when you make a mistake? right? How hard have you worked for your capital to save it? If you've worked and you've saved, it's hard, okay? So yeah, you know, that's understating the value on this. If you know what is in this and what has been learned from both the wins, we've had investments, we've had seven-figure wins on investments, okay? And we've had mistakes and losses, and I've made mistakes. And again, there's a lot. So it's what is the value of the mistake, right? You'll get the step-by-step checklists, the PDFs, and the worksheets, right? So you're going through this thing, and you're doing that, and you're getting that system set up for yourself, and you're making it yours. 24/7 access to all the recorded sessions. So at any point in time, if you miss one of the sessions, there's going to be four of them. If you miss it, there's a recording. You'll be able to go through it. If you go through it once, you want to listen to it again, you can listen to it again. If something didn't make sense, whatever, you can do that, okay? Q&A time at the end of each class. Okay, we're going to spend time answering questions, making sure you understand it. You know, if there's stuff that pops up, okay, big value there. I don't, you know, like I said, I only do this a couple times a year. And if we were like working together one-on-one, like that fee and that time costs a lot, okay? So this is a huge deal there. So total value here, $9,980. Are you guys liking this? Come on now, smile. What was that guy's name? Tony Little? Okay, but wait. No. Okay, so $9,980. Let me back up. So if that was the real cost, let me just tell you that it would be worth it, okay? That's not a little bit of money, but compared to how many of you have ever made mistakes with your money in here before? Anybody? Are those mistakes usually cheap and small, or are they usually big? How many of you have ever made some big mistakes before? Okay. Now that's just the money cost. What about the pain and agony? Right? How many of you guys in here hate to make a mistake? Okay. How about the embarrassment? Have you ever made a mistake before and now you have to talk to somebody and tell somebody about it? Right? Like your wife? Okay. Have any of you ever been taken advantage of before in here? Have any of you ever been stolen from in here before? Okay. Defrauded. Theft. Right. All kinds of unethical activity. Okay. Remember, one of the things I said in here is you will become an expert propaganda and BS detector. How much is that worth? Freaking lot. Okay. Remember what I said earlier, when you start to do all these things you're learning here and your capital's building up, you're walking around with a target. You're a marked person.
Yes, you are.
Whether you realize it or not, you got a mark. Here's the thing about it. Because of those 180 biases, that money's burning a hole in your pocket. And that money that's in your, that's there, it's advertising. Do something, do something, do something, do something, do something. Right? And it's sending out signals and it's attracting. And it just happens. It's so innocent. You know, somebody you've known for a long time says, hey, I got this friend and they do this and they're really good. And I want to introduce, oh yeah, cool. And then you come on and you say, man, you wouldn't believe what happened. I just ran into this person. I've been praying. And it was just, you know, I just ran into this amazing person. And wow, you know, they just told me about this incredible business opportunity. You know, and I think we're going to be a partner. We're going to do this, right? Or that just feels so right. Okay. Okay. Why does that happen? Because you have capital.
Yeah.
And you don't have a system, or you are not actually putting it to work. You're not telling it what to do. This happened to me for years, right? Now, I won't do a partnership or a business because I can make 10% in the market like nothing, easy. If I want to take risk, which is a partnership is risk, a business startup is risk, 9 out of 10 businesses fail. If I'm going to take risk, I can take risk. And I don't have to do anything. I just got to monitor it. So now I'm not going to go, I don't have to worry about those. I don't have that feeling anymore like, oh, I need to do something. It's sitting there. I've got to do something with it. You know? Give it to somebody. Just do something for me. Okay? So that alone well worth this amount, okay? If we cut it in half, it is $4,995. Now, I'm not saying that this is for you, but when you look at the whole picture of it, how many of you think it's worth it, okay? I'm telling you, if the one mistake alone, just one landmine that you step on that you don't see and it blows off your leg, okay? Not $99.80, not $49.95, but how about $2,995? Are we getting a little bit closer? Just a little bit? Yeah, cool. All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, even if it was that amount, it'd be worth it. How about $1,995? Is that a good deal? We just cut it down pretty good. Okay. So let's just work off of that. Let's say that's what it is. Okay. But that's not all. Okay. So if you invest in this class that's coming up this Thursday, what we're going to do is we're going to throw in the True Wealth Formula full course. So several years ago, I did a full training, and it's the backstory on everything. It's the nitty-gritty and the details, and kind of lays the framework. This class is implementation. It's taking it and actually doing it and putting it together, but this course is valued at $19.95, okay? So it's over 10 hours of video, audio, so it's financial education, training, and, it's the backstory on the system, and you get that, and that is what people have paid for that course, and it's been out there for many years, and it's helped people do very, very well, okay? Also, we could throw in the e-marketing formula course. We talked about marketing and business development this morning. How was that? Was that a good session for some of you guys? Was it helpful? So this course, there's a full-blown section on copywriting, different business models on the internet, the whole deal. That's in there as well, $9.95 value, okay? So now our total value is $12,970. Oh my God, this is so funny. Right? So, but today, only $9.95, okay? $995, and the whole deal, the whole ball of wax, and so the classes are on the phone, okay? Working with me and a small group of people, we get this stuff set up. If you want to sign up, you can do this now on the Wealth Builder app. There's a little deal there, and you can get yourself registered. And it's going to be a small group of people, okay? Very small. All the content's on there. So if you're on the road, if you're traveling, if you're flying, it's there. If you want to re-review stuff, you want to do stuff, whatever, it's right there. It's that accessible. You don't have to go find a website, log in or whatever. You just boom, tap the app, boom, there it is. Okay? Boop, there it is. Okay. So $9.95, that's pretty, I would have, if somebody would have given me this, if I could have known this and learned this and got this, I would have paid $100,000 for this. And it would have saved so much, okay? So this is how you know that this is not for you. So I just want to review this real quick, and then we'll wrap up. So not if you're not willing to take the responsibility to learn, then this is probably not. So again, this is for the person that says, "No, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. I want to own this. I want to master the game." Okay? If you're looking for somebody else to tell you what to do, that's not the right kind of match that I'm looking for. This is about you learning how to think and how to do and do it. Okay? I'll tell you what I do, but I don't want to be telling you what to do. Okay? And if the price is an issue, if $995 is a lot, then this, and if you see this as an expense and not an investment, then it's not a right thing. It's not for you. Okay? First of all, if that's a lot, then that means that your capital base is not where, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not a negative or a down. It's just different people are at different places in their life, you know? So you should see that this is an investment and it's really worth, okay? So it is for you if you're sick and tired of making mistakes with your money. If you're tired of that capital building up and just sitting there and you don't know what to do with it, this is for you. If you want a step-by-step system and a structure to manage and invest, if you're growing your business and your income but not increasing your wealth, if you're out of debt and then you're like, now what? Okay, I'm out of debt, now what do I do? Okay, or if you want to grow your unearned income and your cash flow every single month on autopilot, okay, still not sure, okay, here's the deal I'm going to make for you, okay, sign up today, okay, this is tonight, attend all four classes, okay? And apply yourself, do the work, okay? Do the, because there's homework, there's worksheets, just do it. Just put your best effort out, okay? And if you do that and you don't feel that it's worth at least 10 times your investment, 10 times, unequivocal, then keep the TrueWell formula full course for free. Okay? So what does that mean? Do it, sign up, do it, apply yourself. If you say, this isn't worth 10 times, I wouldn't have paid 10 grand. If it's not worth at least 10 times more, ask for a refund. You will get your money back and you keep the TrueWell formula course free forever. Okay? It's in the app. So that's like, you can't really go wrong with that. You're either going to come out and you're going to be like, I am so glad I did this. Or you're going to be like, it's cool. Wasn't for me. Thank you. But I get to keep the course. Okay? But again, don't just do that. Like, apply yourself and actually, you know, go through it. Okay. So that's what you get. Everything there, $9.95. Just use the app. It's right there. It's the very first thing at the top. So again, do you want financial advice or wealth creation system? This is about the system. And not more information, because more information is making you poorer, not richer. And so that's how you do it. Just sign up right there for the class. The app is on the App Store, Google Play, and you download it, and then you do that, and then that'd be it. Thank you. You guys are amazing. And have fun. And hold on. And that was just fun, okay? That was me having some fun. I haven't done that in years, and it's been a really long time. I don't even know how to work this thing half the time. But you guys were amazing, and my goal tonight was to take you through the process so that you get a lot out of it, and that you do, and you have an idea, okay? But that the class is for, it's time to go to work. Let's do it. Let's come out, and let's do it. So if you know in your gut and you feel like, hey, this is the time and this is the right thing, I want to do this, then do it. If not, no big deal, right? It's not a big deal at all. It's a timing issue, and it's a decision issue, and it's a commitment thing, okay? And I wanted to at least get that out there so that you had that opportunity and that you can get in there and go for it. We can hit the ground running so that when you go into the new year, you've got these systems set up and you're ready and you're rocking and rolling for 2018. Other than that, we are 9:30 in the morning. You guys are totally awesome and amazing. Thank you. Good night.